The only station in Sacramento giving you local sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sactown Sports.
Hey, Christian McCaffrey is playing tonight. Hear the game right here, the 49ers and Vikings. Right after the drive, guys, on Sactown Sports. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason.
This let's
kicks
go.
Off. Yeah, as you know, Kyle, a huge week for us. So we're with you till 4:30 today. Then we got the 49ers and the Vikings. Tomorrow, Kyle Draper will be on his way to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah.
The NBA season tips off tomorrow, so Jerry Reynolds will be in for Kyle. Wednesday, Kyle Draper will be coming to us from Salt Lake City. You got the call Wednesday,
Delta
right?
Center, right? The old school Delta Center. The name is back. First game of the season for your Sacramento Kings. I'll be coming to you inside the arena, so I'll give you a little flavor, get you ready for the Kings basketball right here on Sactown Sports.
Yes. Thursday, we'll be all over that game.
Yep.
And then Friday, we're going to be out at Golden One Center getting you ready as if you need help getting ready for the Kings home opener against the Warriors. So you know how I feel right now, Kyle? I feel like I'm at Disneyland and I've been waiting for, give me a ride, a really good ride, any ride.
Matterhorn.
Space Mountain.
Okay.
Oh, Matterhorn 2.
That's
the bobsled one, right?
Yeah.
That's the bobsled one.
Yeah. Waiting and waiting. And now I feel like, okay, front of the line and the car that we're going to be in is coming around. And it stopped, and the restraint things are coming up. The people are starting to get out, and it's almost time to get in and start the NBA season.
And that's
how I feel.
And the best part about it, it doesn't last 2 minutes. It lasts longer than 2 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because that ride, you know, is great and everything, but then it's over. No.
Yes.
We got 6 months of basketball to talk, maybe even longer if the Sacramento Kings advance.
Which Disneyland ride is this season going to most be like? That's maybe a poll question. Maybe that's something
that's
we keep
a good
around
one.
All week. I'm not sure what the answer is.
Ooh, I'll
hopefully,
think about it. I'll
it's
get
not.
Them
it's a small world. Hopefully, it's not that, right?
That's the
it's
Warriors because they're, you know, they don't have a lot of size.
Exactly. And it's kind of boring and, you know, no offense. But Matterhorn would be nice, man, because right from the jump, you're off and running, you know? Mm-hmm. You're going fast, twist and turn.
Going up like the king. Things are going
up. We are a stock on the way up. And so, yeah, I'm excited, man. We got games tomorrow, obviously, two Western Conference matchups, four heavyweights going at it. But then on Wednesday, that's what we're looking for. The Kings on the road to a tough place to play. But, man, I'm excited for this squad.
Yeah, and then before we get into any of that, we've got the 49ers and Vikings tonight. And you used a term just before we came on the air that I normally say, but I have to admit, I do see some reason to say that in some ways, this is not only a very important game for the 49ers, it may be one that they have to have.
Yeah, and I don't want to say must win, but it's close to a must win. And it's not must win to win the Super Bowl or must win to win the division. I'm talking must win if you want home field advantage in the NFC. Because
it could be.
Yeah, it could be. Like, you lose this one, you got a tough Cincinnati Bengals team coming up next week. I know that game is at home, but, you know, if you're not healthy, if Debo's not back, Trent Williams isn't back, and so you can't afford to lose 3 in a row if you're San Francisco. So if you lose tonight, then for sure, in my opinion, next week against the Bengals is a must win.
I have to admit, your team looked pretty good last night. Okay.
Don't you understand? Like, when your team wins, the birds are chirping a little louder, the music sounds a little good, better, the kids don't get on your nerves as much. That's how I feel right now. You're excited to actually go to work. And I thought about wearing my Eagles poncho, but I'm saving that for December 4th. I won't wear it until then, until we beat the Niners. But I thought that was an impressive showing last night for the Philadelphia Eagles.
You said you hear the birds chirping. Are you sure it's not the officials calling another penalty on the Dolphins?
Hey, man.
They're certainly not calling any on your team.
Hey, we're a disciplined ball club. That's what I saw yesterday. I'm like, man.
Zero penalties?
Because we're disciplined. The Eagles are disciplined. That's a well-coached team. That's like Bill Belichick and the Patriots during their heyday.
Who was grabbing the receiver's face mask?
It's a missed call. Those things happen. If you start blaming the officials for your squad losing, that's a loser's mentality, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
So are we saying, did the officials miss some calls? Yes.
Was it one-sided?
The reason
was it
for
one-sided?
The game?
with no penalties on one.
I'm sure the Dolphins did some things that weren't called. But at the end of the day, did the officials have Tua throw that interception, that little lollipop that he threw up there, that Slay Jr.? Did the officials help A.J. Brown carve up that Dolphins defense? Come on now.
Maybe a little bit.
All right, end of the day, my squad got it done, and I was so impressed with the defense yesterday. Because we went into this game, Dolphins, we know they could put up points. How are they going to stop Tyreek Hill? Tyreek Hill almost stopped himself with that drop. He's a talented receiver. I thought the defensive line was tremendous. And I know the Dolphins had some injuries, obviously, on both sides of the ball. No, the running game was hampered with no Achan, obviously. But the Eagles' defensive line was on point last night.
Yes. Well, I know that I had predicted the Dolphins would win the game, and I was wrong. One of the reasons I did that was because of the Eagles' issues in the secondary. Yeah. And they certainly agree that they have problems there, because today they went out.
They made a move.
They picked up an all-pro safety.
Yeah, they needed that. And the fact that they were able to do that, I forget his name. I was going to pull it up right now, as a matter of fact.
They got Kevin Byard?
Yeah. I just saw the move as I was walking in.
And they traded, a fifth and a seventh rounder or something like that for him from Tennessee?
Well, that's what happens,
though. Huge acquisition.
When teams are going for it, when they are, you know, legitimate Super Bowl contenders, you see a weakness and you address it. And that's going to be huge, I think, for the Eagles. Their secondary was obviously banged up. What were they missing?
They've been going through. I didn't realize Kevin Bard's a Philly native. I just saw that.
Oh, shoot. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And so, exactly. And the fact that they were banged up in the secondary yesterday, and they did a heck of a job. Let's keep it. They did
like
a heck.
You said, they got so much pressure up front, it didn't matter.
Yeah,
much.
The Dolphins only scored one touchdown, one offensive touchdown. So to hold that offense to just 10 points, it doesn't always have to be Jalen Hurts and those guys putting up 40 or anything like that. Sometimes you can win a defensive struggle. I was encouraged by yesterday's win for the Philadelphia Eagles.
How about the 49ers tonight? Christian McCaffrey is a go. Debo is not going to play. Trent Williams, last I heard, you may have more current information. He was, I think, questionable, but trending towards not playing.
Yeah, I think doubtful.
So
yeah,
doubtful
yeah.
Now. So yeah. Are they in trouble tonight? In your estimation?
I think so. I think no Justin Jefferson. We understand that, and I understand the Vikings defense isn't that great. But when you're losing your best offensive lineman, when you're losing your best receiver, arguably Debo, and your running back isn't even 100%.
Fine.
No, he's not. He's got an oblique. One shot, and he's like, this is a scary.
One shot, yeah. As long as they don't have the charger, doctor, he's going to be fine.
This is a scary night, I think, for Niners fans. Niners fans, I'm telling you, then you got Cincinnati next week. I think, you know, when you look at Minnesota, when you look at that crowd, it gets loud in that stadium. This is going to be a Brock Purdy game. Yeah. This is a Brock Purdy game. Your boy better deliver tonight because eyes are on him.
He will.
Eyes are on him. Yeah. He doesn't have his binky Debo Samuel.
How does Kirk Cousins typically play
when the lights are bright?
Yeah,
not good. Not good. But that's in the past. And he's going against Kyle Shanahan. He's going to stick it to Shanahan. You should have traded for me last year. You go out there and start Brock Purdy. You knew you needed a quarterback. You should have made a move to bring me in. And so I'm looking for the Vikings. This is a 27-24 Vikings win tonight, in my opinion.
I don't think so.
What?
We'll see.
They just lost to the Cleveland freaking Browns. You can't be optimistic about tonight's game.
Your team lost to the Jets last week.
And we came back and handled.
So why can't the 49ers come back from losing to the Browns?
They could, but they're banged up. They're missing Debo. No Trent Williams. Come on.
They're so
not on the offensive line.
We'll scheme around it.
Niners fans aren't even confident tonight. If you're confident, if you're a Niners fan, that means you're being a homer. That means you're hopeful, but you can't be how can you really be confident? I'm listening to Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross and those guys this morning, and they're like, oh, it's going to be 31-16, 32-12, whatever. And I'm like, put some respect on the Minnesota Vikings.
Sorry, I don't even know who sent me this, but thank you. This is one of your guys in the secondary grabbing the face mask of a Dolphins player throwing him down last night. No,
why
are
you bringing up old stuff, Whitey?
Just sent that
you're bringing
me.
Up old stuff.
It was
stuff.
Just sent to me. Thank you, whoever sent
you
that.
You know what
to
I mean, Simone? Yeah. He bringing up old stuff. Come on.
Last night. You know what's interesting? I just read this. Maybe you know this. I didn't know this. Apparently, the Vikings, and this is at least what they want everyone to believe, they were pursuing Brock Purdy right before the draft ended. They were in contact with him, and they wanted to sign him as an undrafted free agent. And the 49ers snatched him up. So they did. They drafted him, and he was up. Brock Purdy said, yeah, there was a couple teams that I was talking to because he figured he wasn't going to get drafted. The Vikings were one of the teams that really wanted him.
And that's interesting.
Drafted by the 49ers.
But I'm going to keep it real with you about Brock Purdy. And I know people are going to get upset
about
this. And I know people are going to be like, oh, Drapes, you're hating on Brock Purdy again. Even if the Niners, I mean, the Vikings were going to pick up Brock Purdy, no way in heck did they envision that he would become the guy he is today. So Shanahan drafted him, you know, dead last in the draft a couple of years ago. There's no way he expected him to be on the roster getting starts for this team. And so Brock Purdy is like found money in your cushions. Like I said the other day, like Kobe Jones, Brock Purdy is the extra chicken McNugget. You only ordered a 6-piece, but whoa, they made a mistake and gave you 7. Yeah, that's what Brock Purdy is.
I mean, that's not some credit.
But when you draft a player last, honestly, are you really thinking, you know what? He, A, is going to make the roster, and B, he's going to turn into what he is.
I understand your point, but obviously you hope so. That's why you draft the guy, and that's why you sign some guys that you don't even draft.
It's like late-round fantasy football drafts.
Yeah.
If those guys I draft in the 11th and 12th round see the field, something went wrong with my starters.
Mm-hmm. I know we're recording this, so tomorrow we can play some of it back to you with Brock Purdy. Lights up the Vikings.
Hey, if he does, good for him. I want to see it. This is his opportunity. That's what I said. You know Debo. Trent Williams banged up. CMC's hurting right now. And so this isn't a CMC kind of game, in my opinion. Like, he better not touch the ball 20 carries, 22 carries, 23 with the oblique injury. This is going to be on Brock Purdy and some of the other guys tonight. Maybe it's a big George Kittle night tonight for the Niners. You know, maybe it's Brandon Ayuk gets going. Maybe Elijah Mitchell. Somebody else other than CMC should have a big night tonight.
For all the focus on the 49er injuries, I think their biggest question has to do with something else on the other side of the ball from Brock Purdy, and we'll tackle that when we come right back here. Take a quick break. Drive, guys, just underway on Sacktown Sports.
Your new home for 49ers football in the 916, Sacktown Sports.
Here are the 49ers tonight against the Minnesota Vikings. Some think the 49ers are in big trouble tonight. We'll find out right here on Sacktown Sports. I think the biggest issue for the Niners tonight, Kyle, in my opinion, aside from the injuries, which of course are big, and you got a kicker who's trying to prove that last week was fluke, got a quarterback trying to bounce back, job one for the 49ers tonight is to prevent the Vikings from running wide and setting the edge and getting around the edge of the 49ers defense, because that's what the Browns did to them last
right.
week. It's probably the key to the Browns' victory, and it's one thing the 49ers are not supposed to let happen to them. They stopped the run, and they run the ball. They didn't stop the run, and they better
last
start
week.
Stopping the run tonight.
Right, exactly, and I think this is, you talk about Kirk Cousins' prime time. If you're the Niners, you say, Kirk Cousins, you're going to have to go out there and beat us. Kirk Cousins, without your number one wide receiver, you're going to have to throw for 300 yards. You may have to throw 45, 50 times. It's going to be critical, I think, also, when you talk about the Niners' defense, their offense has to help them. You know, one of the things that we've seen in the past with the Niners is you get off to an early start, you know, quick start. You build that 7-0 lead, 10-0, 14-0 lead, and then, bam, teams got to throw. They have to become one-dimensional. And, you know, the question is, can Kirk Cousins beat you? That's the thing if you're the Niners tonight. You have to make Kirk Cousins beat you. And, you know, when you look at this Vikings team, they are not a good rushing team. Like, they're near the bottom. I'm pulling the stats up right now.
They got Cam Akers and they got the other guy.
They're 30th in the National Football League in rushing yards per game. They only average about 70 to 75. And so, you know, if you control the line of scrimmage, control Cam Akers and those guys, you know, put the onus on Kirk Cousins, you got a shot tonight.
I think they're also a good example of the type of team you just talked about where they tend to be playing from behind, so they got to throw.
Right, exactly. And you know, Kirk Cousins to me, I know everybody talks about big game Kirk Cousins when the lights are shining. Kirk, he's the ultimate, to me, feast or famine. One minute he looks great. The next minute it's like, we got to trade this guy. You know, he shouldn't be our starting quarterback. And so, honestly, it would not surprise me if Kirk Cousins has a big game tonight.
I've said it before, and I know it's kind of nonsensical, but I believe it. Kirk Cousins is both overrated and underrated.
Right.
Because he's
right.
So, he fluctuates.
Yeah, how do you properly rate him?
Yeah.
Like, is he a top 15 guy? Is he a 15 to 20 guy? I don't know. It's tough, you know, but without Justin Jefferson, I can't see the Vikings offense led by Kirk Cousins, you know, winning this game in terms of, I think Brock Purdy has to be the key. Like the Vikings, if they turn the ball over, force turnovers, that's where I think they have the edge. That's why I say it's a Brock Purdy game. You know, Brock Purdy has to be clean. He has to have a clean sheet. Don't give Minnesota the short field.
What do you think of the fact that Kirk Cousins apparently does not own a smartphone? He has only a flip phone.
That's not a good thing.
Really?
Simone,
any thoughts on that, Kirk Cousins?
It's pretty whack.
Right.
Got in the middle of snacks.
Yeah, Kirk, that is not a good thing.
He says he heard Andrew Luck say that once when Andrew Luck was playing. Andrew Luck said, I don't have a smartphone. I just have a flip phone. So I can call and be in contact with the people I need to. And that way, all the distractions in the media and what people are saying, I don't know anything about it. So Kirk Cousins said, yeah, I only have a flip phone. He says he didn't know until recently that there were rumors that the Jets might seek him in a trade. He says, I don't need any of that
stuff.
Me and my flip phone.
Man, so he don't get videos on his phone. He probably got the old school, you know, where you couldn't get videos or anything.
Yeah.
And
140 characters
right,
to work
right,
with.
Right, right. That's about it. It takes a special person.
Dedicated.
You know. Now that we're talking about phones, real quick. Does it bother you? You got an iPhone, right, Whitey?
Yeah, I need to update.
Yeah, you got the iPhone 3. I noticed that. Samoa, you got an iPhone or no?
I got an iPhone,
all right.
Yes.
It bothers the heck out of me when I'm texting people and they come back green, you know, and they got Android or something of it. It's like, what do you do? Do you put the milk in the cereal bowl first and then the cereal? That's what kind of person you are? And so, no, that's Kirk Cousins right there.
Yeah. Oh, we'll look forward to see how this unfolds tonight. I think it's an easy 49er win. And if it's not, then we definitely have a lot of things to talk about tomorrow.
Easy 49er win.
Where is this team right now? And are they as good as we thought they were?
You said easy 49er win.
Yeah.
What gives you that? Because the injury situation.
I just think they're better than the Vikings.
But they were better than the Browns, too, and they lost. And so this is the arrogance that I'm talking about, Whitey. It's like we're giving the Niners the benefit of the doubt. And I understand. But Minnesota, what are they, 3-3, I think they are, or something like that? I got to look up their record. They aren't necessarily a bad team. I know they're banged up and everything like that, but this is a tough road atmosphere that the Niners are going again. And to me, as an Eagles fan, and you've heard me say this the last few weeks.
Yeah, they're
I'm worried.
2-4, by the way.
2-4. Yeah. I'm worried about the opponent. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I was worried about the Rams. I was worried about the Dolphins. And so I like to put respect on the opponent. Anything can happen. Niners fans, I'm hearing this morning, now I'm hearing you, it's like, we got this.
Well, I'm not
You're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for disappointment right here.
If I were playing in the game and I were on the 49ers, then certainly Minnesota would have a great chance to win. But my point is, if you're playing in the game, you got to respect the opponent. If you're a fan, you don't. Why do you have to respect the opponent? I just think the 49ers are a better team. Minnesota is 129 scored, 135 allowed. They're 0-3 at home. And so you ask, why do you think the 49ers win easily? That's why. You're right. The 49ers they're going to be hobbled tonight. It could make a big difference. But I just think even with the injuries, they're a much better team than the Minnesota Vikings.
You know what's so interesting?
I don't think that's arrogance.
I'm sure Buffalo media said the same thing going into New England. This is the National Football League, Whitey.
Yeah.
Any given Sunday, or in this case, any given Monday night, anything can happen. We just saw Buffalo lose to the Patriots yesterday. We just saw Detroit get mollywopped on the road against Baltimore. Like, every game in the NFL is a difficult game. And so I don't think, you know, I understand the talent gap and all that. But winning a football game, especially on the road, is difficult, man.
Yeah.
And so I got this game a lot closer than you do.
By the way, apology accepted. No worries. Because I know a few weeks ago when I said Brock Purdy's better than Josh Allen, and you kind of did the whole hyena thing laughing. It's okay. All right?
He's playing apology better accepted. Than Josh Allen. He is playing. There's a difference. If you were to do the draft right now, out of all the starting quarterbacks, trust me, Josh Allen would still be ahead of
Josh
Brock
Allen,
Purdy.
Yes, they looked like he was awful.
That was bad. And not only Josh Allen, I could throw my guy Jalen Hurts in there too. You know, the interceptions, the fumble that he had.
He may be a little hurt.
Yeah, he's banged
he's
up.
Playing through
something. Yeah. I think he's questionable already for this week. So he's dealing with something. And, you know, I watch him scrambling. He's not moving as fast. And so clearly he's dealing with something. And, no, give Brock credit, man. Like I said, he's playing better right now than Josh Allen.
For the first time in his young NFL career, Brock Purdy's on the spot tonight.
He is. I think so.
See how he responds, obviously.
You know what? Because we've talked about the weapons. Now you're missing, you know, your offensive lineman. You're missing one of your best wide receivers.
Ronnie Bell is a player.
Okay, you don't even... You see that look?
Juwan Jennings?
You see that
look?
Look
out.
Ooh.
Ray McLeod. I know. You got death at that spot.
I know it's Halloween, it's spooky season, but those guys ain't scaring me. I'm telling you now, if I'm Minnesota, those guys aren't scaring me. And so now you key on CMC.
Yeah.
You make life a little difficult on CMC.
And you pointed this out yourself. I mean, Minnesota's missing one of their best players.
Yeah.
So they're not fully healthy either.
I just think it's going to be a good game, man.
I hope so.
I just think, you know, it's going to be a lot closer than people think. You know, like I said, you're saying it's, you know, going to be a blowout or not going to be a close game.
I think it's an easy 49er win.
Give me a score.
31, I'll say 31-24, which I know is close, but still.
That's one touchdown,
yeah,
Whitey.
But, you know, if it's 31-10 and then
some, and then they get some late scores to make
it
more respectable.
31-21. Okay.
Okay.
Is that allowed?
Okay. Yeah. 31. Okay. What's the line tonight? Do you know? I may have to look it up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure it's moved somewhat.
Yeah.
While you're looking that up, I'm just wondering here what you think of the rest of the NFC, the rest of the NFL races. How do they seven?
7.9er favorite. Okay.
Yeah. How do the NFL races look different? Would you agree with this? Just quick synopsis here, Kyle. I think the Bills and the Chargers have issues. The Lions, too, all of a sudden. The Ravens serve notice. And I think we got to ask how good Cleveland is. And you've already been asking this question, how good Seattle is.
Yeah, you know, I'll start, you know, right off the top with what you talked about. Buffalo, there's clearly some issues there, you know. And you know, you look at their record 4-3, 1-2 on the road. And they looked bad yesterday against, like, really, that game wasn't as close as the final score. Buffalo made some plays late, took the lead, and then allowed Mac Jones to march down the field. Josh Allen just is a turnover machine right now. And so they're dealing with some issues, you know. Baltimore, to me, I'm going to give them some credit. You know, I've been hard on them all season long. They're 5-2.
I think that was warranted.
Yeah. They hadn't been playing well, right? Like, mm-hmm. even though they, you know, were 4-2 going into this week, they hadn't been playing well. The receivers were dropping a lot of balls. Lamar Jackson didn't look great. And the beatdown they put on the Lions yesterday, that is a statement kind of win, mm-hmm. I think. And so, and then you look at that division. You know, Pittsburgh, sure, they're 4-2. I'm still not – I don't believe in Pittsburgh. I don't believe they're a contender. Cincinnati, now you're looking at Cincinnati. You're a game and a half back right now. And you know, you could still be in the mix. So I think Baltimore is a team that, you know, despite not playing well, that the fact that they're sitting at 5-2, that scares me if I'm an AFC team.
Yeah, circling back for a moment to the Patriots – I know that we'd been talking a lot about Belichick and his future there. Does he have a future? And you had been saying you had a hard time believing that the Patriots would do anything with him. It came out that apparently over the summer, before the season started, he had very quietly signed an extension. Now, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't let him go, but he actually just recently signed an extension. So, and that was his, 300th win yesterday?
300th win, yeah.
I think he's going to be around at least for the rest of the year.
I thought somebody said that.
You did. I gave you credit. Right. How many flowers do you want?
I want them all, baby. I want them all.
Yeah.
Because when the Niners win by a landslide tonight, you're going to be the first one. Where's Drapes at?
I'm not like that. You know that. Coming up, we continue our look across the NFL yesterday. The NFL trend that the league didn't want you to notice. We've noticed. We'll break that down next year on The Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento's official home for the San Francisco 49ers.
Sacktown Sports.
This is really kind of touching. Kyle Draper has so many fans who love him. Some of them don't see this game tonight the way he does, so they're trying to help him. You have V Hill 1. Drapes, let it go. You really want to die on this hill? Pike 916. Drapes, have you ever seen Cousins play well under the lights? Name one time. So we got a lot of back and forth there. Tall Chinese guy says 34-17.
Okay.
49ers absolutely not, says 21-17 Minnesota.
Exactly.
And so that has sparked a lot of back and forth, as you can imagine.
Let me say, because absolutely not, you're my guy. I see what you're saying. Somebody said Minnesota scored 19 against Chicago. Do you think Chicago defense is better than San Fran? And then my guy absolutely not says, and Cleveland didn't have their starting QB and still managed to beat San Francisco. It's not easy to win in the NFL, especially on the road. And after losing last week, I think Brock is going to be in a slump and is going to have to learn how to lose. So that's what I said earlier. This is a big week, I think, for Brock.
No
this
question.
Has to be a Brock Purdy game, in my opinion.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's talk to TC on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for hanging, TC. What's up? Happy Monday.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Happy Monday. Yes, sir. What's up, Whitey? What's up, Drapes?
What's up, TC?
Hey, look. We're going to keep it simple. We just got a few points. This is a big game for Brock and for Shanahan. But, Whitey, for about last week when I called in, look, bro, I am a diehard Niner fan. But
I believe
you know what, bro? I'm past the whole faithful kumbaya BS.
Gotcha.
You get what I'm saying?
I do.
If you're saying, if you're the real deal, Kyle, you're a genius. Then win it all, bro. Simple as that. And yes, this is a big game for Brock. It's either going to be tell if he's an average quarterback or if he's up on his way to be elite. Simple as that. And if Kyle gets beat by the guy he's been wanting, Kirk Cousins, that tells you a lot, bro. Simple as that. That's all it is. That's all I got. Oh, one more thing. Hold on, Simone. The Kings and Mike, we're going to be ready, bro. Don't let that whole confusion about Kevin Herter, who's starting, who's not. The guys are going to be ready, and Mike is going to put out the person who's trying to play defense. I don't care if you can shoot lights out. Can you shoot lights out and stop somebody? I'm with that.
All right. Appreciate that, TC.
Thank you, TC. Bringing the truth, as always. How about Eric, Sacktown Sports? E, what's up? Thanks for hanging on. What can we do for you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Kyle's got a lot of fans out there. I was at Summer League this year walking through the Wayne Casino where my – purple Sacramento, and Kyle instantly saw me. I saw him. We locked eyes. It was great. But I got to side with Kyle again here. That was one of the worst predictions for the game I've ever heard. You're saying it's going to be an easy 49ers victory, and then I heard 31. I'm like, oh, he's going to say 31-7 or 31-10. And then you come at me with 24 points. Did you know the Niners have only allowed over 20 points once this entire season and not once?
What is your prediction, Eric? I think we lost Eric.
Eric.
I apologize. He was coming with that heat.
We lost it's you.
Okay. Oh, there he is.
He's back. What is your score, Eric?
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. Yeah, I'm here. So I don't know how you thought they're going to have their highest output of the season against the 49ers defense without their number one receiver.
What do you have a prediction for the game?
I didn't realize when I woke up this morning. I saw the -7. I thought the game was in San Francisco or Santa Clara. So when I found out it was in Minnesota, I did a teaser. I teased it up to Vikings +14 and the under. So I think I'm getting +14 on the Vikings. I'm feeling really good about it because the Niners.
14?
Even with McCaffrey.
Who's giving you that?
All right, Eric. Thank you.
My 14. Gosh, 14.
Hey, he didn't like my prediction, but at least I knew where the game was. Thank you, Eric. And I amended it to 31-21.
So that 31-21.
Yeah, which would be great for him if he's got, obviously, the Vikings and 14.
You know, I know they're without Justin Jefferson, but Jordan Addison is a stud.
Yeah.
He's a stud wide receiver. And, you know, I just think, you know, like I said, this is a Brock Purdy game. You know, he can't turn the ball over. He can't have two picks.
He doesn't have picks.
He had one last week. What are you talking about, Whitey? Exactly.
That's one all year.
And I'm saying it's on his shoulders because he's had his binkies. He had CMC. He had Debo. He had Ayuk. No Debo tonight. You know, a banged up CMC.
Does Jalen Hurts have binkies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
So what's the
and
point?
He turns the ball over too. Like, you know,
he turns it over way more than
he turns
Brock
it
Purdy.
Way over. You know, I just think, you know what, this is a Brock Purdy game. This may be one of those games where he has to throw 250, 275, 300, because I don't know how effective CMC is going to be tonight with the injury.
Well, if he has to throw for 275, that means they're losing. Because they don't throw if they're, you know,
yeah,
if they're not behind.
But that's what I'm saying. With CMC hurt, how much is the running game? You got faith we're going to see a normal CMC game tonight?
Oh, yeah. The good Lord gave you two obliques. Just use the other one.
Optimistic Niners fan again. Oh, my God. Everything comes up sunshine and rainbows when it comes to the San Francisco 40. How about Jake Moody? He's going to be great tonight, right? I'm sure he is. You got 100% faith in him tonight.
He better be. What do I know? All I know is that when he was at Michigan, he was terrible on the road.
Game is on the road.
Yeah. I was on that bandwagon. I abandoned that. I got off at the first stop. So I was crushed by what he did to me last week. But no, he's got to show that he's the guy they thought he was. But that's a tough situation for them. Very tough if he doesn't. Because they can't just say, oh, well, that didn't work. Where's Robbie Gould? You know, they're committed to
him.
Right,
right.
Financially, long-term, and he's our guy.
Third round pick, you can't, you know, all of a sudden, you know, bring in Robbie Gould or, you know, and you know, when you look at the quarterback position and the kicking position, those are the biggest question marks surrounding this team. And so that's why I worry if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're entrusting your Super Bowl hopes on a young quarterback and a young kicker.
TCG says, Kyle Drapes, you better admit, he said Drapes, you better admit the Niners are best in the league tomorrow after they beat the Vikings.
If the Niners lose, can you admit the Eagles are the best team? We woke up today
in
the NFC. Okay. We woke up today with the Eagles the best team in the NFC.
Best record.
Like you said. With power rankings. We don't need it.
Well, the 49ers standings, have to play.
The standings are
games.
The power rankings.
Yeah,
exactly.
The 49ers can tie them if
so
they
technically,
catch them
I'm right.
Well, they have the best record. Yeah. They have, right now, they do. There's no question.
Whitey, you're killing me, man. give my squad some credit. That win last night was the best win out of the Niners and the Eagles. The Niners don't have a great win like that this season. Niners been beaten up on cupcakes.
Well, they just destroy people. They just humiliate teams. You're right. They don't have a signature win.
They don't have that signature win.
Have they played anybody? No, that's not their fault.
Exactly.
Yeah. They also don't have as embarrassing a loss as the Eagles do, losing to
the
Jets.
They lost to the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns
PJ
have a
Walker.
Really great defense.
PJ Walker might not win a game the rest of the season.
Zach Wilson's
after
on the phone. By the way, scoring around the NFL is down. Have you noticed? Look at some of the scores yesterday. You don't need me to run them down for you, but 16-13, 14-7, 19-17, 20-10. 454 offensive touchdowns so far. That ranks since 2000. That's 15th. Mm. And 135 fewer than the all-time high. 275 touchdown passes so far this year. That's 17th most since 2000. 99 fewer than the high, which was set in 2018. So the NFL last week released a bunch of stats showing that, completion percentages are up. But really, the league doesn't want you to notice, but a lot of teams are having a lot of trouble scoring this year.
Why do you think that is? Is it the quarterback play? Is it defenses have figured things out? You know,
I do think a lot of it has to do with the guys who are playing quarterback and guys who are not playing quarterback anymore, who were just a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I also think quarterbacks have regressed to an extent. Look at Josh Allen turning the ball over. Look at Jalen Hurts, already with more turnovers this season than he had all of last season. And so I just think the quarterback position, I don't know if it's because of injuries to wideouts and running backs or what have you, but guys aren't playing at an – like Give me a quarterbacks that are playing at a high elite level right now. Yeah, Mahomes, you know, I'll even throw in Brock Purdy. You know, forget about last week. Like I'll give Brock Purdy some love. But there aren't a whole lot of quarterbacks.
It's true.
You know, Herbert's, you know, struggling out there.
She just passed out in there when you said something nice about Brock Purdy. Simone just
I'm objective. I'm unbiased, unlike everybody else in this room.
We're gonna bounce back over to the NBA when we come back. One thing the Kings did this preseason that they cannot do in the regular season. And how about those new City Edition unis? Next, Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
I'll tell you what. This is not good news for the 49ers. May not be bad news, but it's not good news. The Philadelphia Eagles, you know, they've got some issues in the secondary. They acquired Kevin Byard in a trade with the Titans. Kevin Byard was named first-team All-Pro in 2017 and 2021. Finished the 22 season with 108 tackles and 4 interceptions. He has never missed a game in 8 seasons with the Titans. And all the Eagles had to give up was safety Terrell Edmonds plus a 2024 fifth-round pick and a sixth-round pick also 2024. So that's a great trade for the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, great. Good.
You like that? Look,
I mean, that's a great trade. There's no way around it.
Okay, just you saying that with such disdain, such disgust, like, throwing your pen around and everything.
Yeah, because it doesn't help the 49ers.
I'm reading the article on NFL.com about the trade, and it says Philly swooped in, adding a 2-time first-team All-Pro, former interceptions leader.
Philly native.
It's a coup for the Eagles.
It is. There's no way around that.
Rich get richer, my boy.
Yeah.
Rich get richer.
So we'll see if the 49ers feel the need to counter before the deadline on Halloween. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We said we're going to bounce over to the NBA, but first let's go to the phones. Bobby has been on hold. Oh, Bobby, you're on with the Drive Guys. What can we do for you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Bobby, what's up?
So Drake, first off, I got to say before I say this, your content is great for the show because you add such a good East Coast dynamic to the show. But I do got to say, after observing some of your takes for a while, the last one was possibly the most out there, which – how can you say the Eagles' victory last night was any better than the Niners' blowout of the Cowboys? Like, I just...
The Cowboys are a joke.
There because-
the Cowboys are weak. The Cowboys are front runners. They're paper tigers. Nobody really considers the Cowboys a contender in the NFL.
4-2.
It doesn't... Throw the record out. Who have they beaten? Look at the Cowboys'
you
wins this
season.
You said
the Vikings were great. They're 2-4.
I never said the Vikings were great.
They handled the Dolphins, though. That did happen before you guys played them. Before last night, you guys did not look elite offensively.
So you don't think... So hold up. You don't think the Dolphins are better than the Cowboys? You don't think the Dolphins are better than the Cowboys?
I don't think they're much. I'm just saying, like, let's not act like they're much better. They got smashed by the Bills, like annihilated by the Bills. And then last night, you guys offensively did not look elite until last night. And you guys played great last night. But before that, you guys looked like maybe the third best team in the NFC. And you guys are good, but you missed Steichen as your OC.
No, it's going. But a new OC takes time, though, right? And
it
listen,
does.
And Jalen Hurts is banged up. And so you're right. Last night was the first time I thought Hurts used all his weapons. You got Devontae Smith in the mix as well.
I think the new OC is a genius. Everybody just huddle up and we'll just push the guy with the ball for 2 yards. Brilliant.
I thought that was a great
this
win.
This is the thing, too. Like, what is your deal with Purdy, too? Because, like, I wanted to hate on him at first, but after watching him now, like, Purdy's legit. Like, let's just stop.
It's no what's your deal with Purdy and the hate. My issue with Brock Purdy has nothing to do with Brock Purdy. It has to do with all these Niners fans putting them in the same category as Joe Montana and Steve Young. Pump the brakes.
Yeah,
that's all I've been saying. Those guys earned their reputations when it mattered most in the playoffs and Super Bowls. That's all I've been saying from day one. And so all this worshiping of Brock Purdy, I'm like, hold up, calm down. Let's see the guy when it matters the most. That's my take.
No, that's fair.
Thank
that's
you,
fair.
Bobby. It's great to hear from you. And I apologize to you, Bobby, because, yeah, I had forgotten when we said, oh, I said 49ers don't have a signature win. They did. That was win over the Cowboys.
That's a signature win. That's
their signature win of this year. That's their signature win. And I could also point out when you say, all I've ever said about Brock Purdy is that fans are going overboard about him. That's not actually true, but we'll just what? You've said more than that, but we'll just move on. We'll just allow that because everybody's in a nice place now.
All right, yeah, we're good now.
On the chat, people are going at each other.
I'm shutting down the chat right now, man, because this chat is just too much for me. I see them out there, all those YouTubers on our chat out there.
As we said, it's a huge week for the show. Thanks for being part of it with us here. Tomorrow, Kyle's going to be in Utah, on his way to Utah, and then Jerry Reynolds will be in. Wednesday, Kyle's going to be coming to us from Utah, where he's got the call for the Kings opener. So we got the NBA opening tomorrow, the Kings opening Wednesday, Friday. We got the home opener. Big, big week. So how did FanFest go?
FanFest was phenomenal. It was great. Just the energy, you know, several thousand, you know, I think it was like 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000, something like that. And it was great to see the players. The players get it for the most part. The way they interact with fans, you know, it's not about, you know, going through the drills and skills competition and all that. Like, De'Aaron Fox spent so much time signing autographs for fans in the front rows, first couple of rows. It just was, you know, you just feel the energy and the love between the players and the fan base. It was tremendous.
Well, as your cohort, Mark Jones, told us on Media Day, it's genuine here, the connection between the fans and the players. Right. In some places, to a degree, it's somewhat manufactured. That's the nature of pro sports, but it's very genuine here. So it's really a privilege to be even a small part of that. How about the new City Edition uniforms unveiled? What did you
say? I love the Kings City Edition uniforms. Somebody did a poll on Twitter, you know, did a ranking of them and had the Kings, I believe, as the best City Edition uniform out there. It's sort of a throwback to the Royals days, yes. You know, and I love the color scheme.
I don't know what you call it. It's like a ribbon down the
side.
Yeah,
ribbon down
vertical.
The side. Yeah, exactly. And so I love it, man. I can't wait to get one for my son and daughter. They're going to be rocking them, I'm sure, during the season. I liked it. Yeah. You know, but some people say, get rid of the City Edition uniforms. Like, can we get back the traditional, you know, road colored home whites, you know, just two uniforms, because it's just every year there's a new one, a new one, a new one.
Yeah, I understand that. I was talking to my sister-in-law yesterday, was saying sometimes now teams have jerseys and they're not even the team colors.
Right,
isn't there?
Right.
Yeah, and I understand that. But I like these uniforms. I want to see the back, and I don't know if that matters, but the Kings, way back when, the Kings were one of the first, if not the first teams in Kansas City to have the name underneath the number, which was kind of weird.
Yeah. Not a fan of that.
I wanted to see if it was really they're going to throw it back that far. But I like I like the homage to the history of the franchise since they're in their 100th year.
Yeah, 100 years of Kings, Royals basketball. And you know, the excitement for this team, this rivals, and you were around, does this rival 2001, 2002, do you think? Just the excitement? It's for the first time since then, obviously, you know, a team and a franchise and a fan base is this excited.
In some ways it rivals it, but in some ways it's different yet because it's not where it got to yet. You know, it's just starting.
Right,
it's very exciting.
Right.
But that started this way in 99. And then, you know, within a couple of years, it's like, wow, this team is a legitimate NBA powerhouse. So hopefully we're on our way to that. But it seems like we're in a different point of the story
of the arc,
if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hopefully the arc goes even
higher. Right.
That's a tall order, obviously.
Yeah, and I would imagine, you know, how we are right now hopefully won't compare to how we are come April and, you know, hopefully May. Like the level of excitement and just how crazy this city is going to be. But it all starts on Wednesday, man. I can't wait.
Real quick, one thing, the Kings, I was looking at some numbers. Yeah. I know you look at numbers all the time. One thing that explained partly why the Kings struggled so much in the preseason, you know, they're a good three-point shooting team. They shot 31% for the preseason, which was 26th. Mm. And you can expect that's not going to continue. I think it was Herter and the Zenkov and one other guy, like Monk, they were under 20%.
Yeah.
So that's probably not going to happen, but that's one reason why they struggled so much.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, regarding Kevin Herter, it's like everybody wants to write him off, but historically, he's proven to be a pretty good three-point shooter. And so you got to imagine eventually he'll break out of that slump.
Yeah, when he comes off the bench behind Colby Jones, which would be terrific.
Boom, boom, boom. Nice.
You are Mr. Colby Jones.
Yeah, that's, he's still my guy. I love Colby Jones. I don't hate anybody. Come on, don't try and paint me as an anti-Colby Jones. Colby Jones is my guy. I like Kevin Huerter. I just think, and I was driving in and I was thinking this, Whitey, there's no way Mike Brown is going to let 12 games dictate who he starts. 7 in the playoffs, 5 in preseason. Kevin Huerter has earned way more longer leash than that, in my opinion.
The only way Kyle Draper would ever say anything remotely negative about Kevin Huerter is if Kevin Huerter said something nice about Brock Purdy.
Right,
when we come back,
go.
Yeah. The good, the bad, the ugly of the 49ers injury situation with the Vikings coming up tonight. That's next with The Drive, guys.